As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Let me tell you people something. This ain't just a football. This is your hopes, your dreams, your ambitions, your soul in a role. It's your life. Tomorrow on that field, it's do or die. Win or cry.
Go, baby, go!
Amen. Tonight when you go home, I want you to brush your little teeth. I want you to wash your little faces. And I want you to dream the sweet dreams of football glory. Because tomorrow we're going to crush the little giants into smithereens. What do you say, men?
Yeah! Little stutter step move by Parsons. Jones fires and the pass. He's intercepted by Diggs. He goes down, and the Cowboys think they've wrapped it up.
And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
Yeah! How about them Cowboys indeed?
Hey, how about that week 3 win for your Dallas Cowboys? 23-16 over the New York Giants. We're live. We're breaking it all down. Father John Machota is reporting in live from that, looks like that weird ski resort thing that they have across from the Meadowlands. I don't know why he's there, but he's live. He's covered the game. We've got KT here live covering it as well on a late night on Monday. I'm Kent producing and welcoming in two of the best of the best when it comes to breaking down all things Dallas Cowboys. We've got John and we've got your host with the most, Kevin KT Turner. Hey, KT.
Hey man, sorry, I got hyper because we won. The season's not over. It's not like this is crazy. John, will this go down in Cowboys history as the CeeDee Lamb game, another Cooper Rush game, or the DeMarcus Lawrence half?
Ooh, those are good options. I think as long as they keep winning with Cooper Rush, I think he'll get the headlines and he'll get the most notoriety if we're looking at this down the road. But in terms of just, you know, the differences in this game, you know, that CeeDee Lamb overcoming the huge drop early in the game, seeing how frustrated he was on the bench, you know, I don't know how much of that they put on TV, but immediately after he had the second drop, I got my binoculars and I was just watching him go to the bench and, you know, slam down his helmet. He was obviously frustrated. And Trayvon Diggs was one of the first guys over there, and DeMarcus Lawrence trying to calm him down. And I asked Cooper Rush after the game, did you say anything to him at that time? He's like, no, I just, you know, I know CD. If he gets the opportunities, he'll be there. You know, he's just too talented not to. And obviously you see that catch, one of the best catches we've seen from a Cowboys receiver in a while. I put that up there with some of the better ones that I've seen, not at the Meadowlands, but considering that we've seen the Odell Beckham catch here, but that was still the amazing, amazing grab there in the corner of the end zone in such a huge moment on top of it. So I don't think this Giants team is, you know, one of the best teams in the league or anything. Let's not get that twisted. But to get this win after they were kind of playing with their food, KT, as you would say, in the first half, and I felt like they should have had a bigger lead than they did at halftime to fight back the way they did. Yeah, you got to be happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, what were you thinking at halftime? I mean, they dominated the entire first half and could not, you know, extend that lead. I mean, the CeeDee Lamb drop really stands out. But, like, what were you thinking at halftime? I'm interviewing you like you're a player.
Almost like that there was not going to be a touchdown score. Like, this is going to be a 12-9 final. And I don't know, which is fine for a noon 1 o'clock game on Sunday. But I mean, Monday Night Football, you know that, you know, this game's getting crazy ratings. And so, and then the other part of it is the way it's looking, you're like, all right, now these two teams are going to play each other again on Thanksgiving. And that will be one of the top, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 TV shows of the year. So you're hoping that it's, you know, more of what the second half was than the first half, but the second half made up for it big time. But at halftime, I was thinking, are either of these teams going to get even close enough to score a touchdown? Do they have the firepower to score a touchdown? Because if you take away, okay, Michael Gallup doesn't play, CD's dropping passes that he should absolutely catch. Where else is your offense coming? Now, they were running the ball well, I'll give them that, but were they running it well enough that you thought that they were going to just keep handing it off and they were going to go 80 yards down the field and just handoffs? Probably not. There was going to have to be some big passes somewhere. And eventually they were there in the second half. But in the first half, there's no way that I was expecting that to happen. I wasn't expecting CD to play as well as, I think on that one drive, on his touchdown drive, I think they said he caught 4 balls for 48 yards on that drive alone. So no, I wasn't expecting any of that.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like the first drive of the game, you get the Farniak, the penalty. It's like, okay, well, there's the drive killer, the one holding from what we're calling the weakest link. And the big story, or one of the big stories leading up to this game, Jason Peters is going to be active. Right. And then Jason Peters kind of comes in and plays a little bit of guard. He actually had a couple of nice blocks that sprung some big runs. Do you feel like we're probably looking at a world, I mean, I we can talk about this later in the week, looking at a world where Peters starts at left guard next week?
You know, I don't know if he starts, but we're looking at a world where, yeah, he's going to start playing more and more. He clearly can play left guard in this league. And then when you have all those penalties, you got to get your best five out there that aren't going to put you behind the ball like that. That was another thing. I'm glad you brought that up, because that was another thing I was thinking about at halftime is, you know, they're on pace for a 10 penalty game, you know, and if that happens, are they going to be able to win a game like that? And especially when it's the, you know, pre-snap stuff, like we had talked about here on before, you know, those are the things that concern you, because you're wondering, is that going to get any better in the second half? But if their goal continues to be, hey, we're going to put our best five out there, I don't know how Jason Peters isn't one of your best five. Now, hey, when McGovern gets back, and I saw him last week working on the resistance cords, I'm sure he's getting close. He's probably another week or two away. But I think Jason Peters has got a good chance to get that job. And I think there's a good possibility that that's the starting lineup maybe for the rest of the season. Tyler Smith, Jason Peters, Tyler Biadasz, Zach Martin, and Terrence Steele, if they can all stay healthy.
Well, what'd you think about the tight ends as well? Let's throw that in there. Because Hendershot and Jake Ferguson get a little time. Yeah. Hendershot got, well, I don't know. Let's see, pull up the box score here. How many catches did Hendershot have there?
Let's see. I got the final one right here. I just grabbed a final book here. We got final individual statistics. We have Peyton Hendershot on 3 catches, on 3 targets, 43 yards.
All right.
14 yards. I mean, and catching all 3 that come your way in a game that, I will say this, I think everybody on the team knew it was probably a long shot for Dalton Schultz. It was going to be one of these game time decisions. Hey, if you go out there and you feel maybe the best you felt, you know, since the injury, maybe we give you a chance to go. But there was talk last week that McCown was going to be up because they needed an extra tight end. And as soon as I heard that, it just made me think, okay, that's probably unlikely that you're going to have Dalton Schultz in this game. So yeah, Hendershot shows up, catches all 3 balls thrown his way for 43 yards. Ferguson catches 2 for 13 yards. You know, yeah, that's pretty solid considering the fact that, you know, you didn't have your franchise tag tight end in there. And the other thing is that there's probably a pretty good chance you're going to get Dalton Schultz and you're going to get Michael Gallup back next week, because there was an outside chance they could have played this week, and now you buy him another week. It seems like there's a good possibility that they're both back next week. So that obviously helps the offense a lot.
Yeah, and able to get something going running the ball too helps you a little bit there. I mean, 13.
Hey, real quick. Yeah. While I'm looking at these stats, I just want to run this one by you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to get your opinion on this. Can you imagine if our podcast was to talk about the Giants? And I'm looking at this and we're talking about the receivers, 3 targets to Kenny Galladay, 0 catches. Kadarius Toney, nothing. I mean, just can you imagine?
He almost got booed out of the building.
Can you just imagine what we would be talking about when those are 2 of your biggest perimeter player investments that you have, whether it's free agency in the draft, and getting nothing like that? I mean, I just know how bad it is for Tolbert, who obviously was nice that he was able to get out here and make his debut. He's a 3rd round pick. He's a 3rd round pick, and he gets out there and he's targeted twice and he caught the 1 for 4 yards. You know, I didn't think that he was going to have some huge game, but it was good to get him out there and get him some reps in an actual NFL game. But man, when I look at that, going off of what we had talked about on the previous podcast, going into this game about Tony and Galladay, it's just like, man, that's got to be so frustrating. And hey, probably some of it goes on Daniel Jones, obviously, as well.
Yeah, and the Cowboys keeping pressure on them pretty much all night. I mean, Daniel Jones is going to be sore tomorrow.
Right.
And it feels like almost every Sunday or Monday that we do this podcast that we are talking about the quarterback from the other team, you know, icing their bodies a little bit. You know, like it was a rough one for Joe Burrow last week too, right? So as good as that, I mean, DeMarcus Lawrence, I thought Dorrance Armstrong was there. The blocked kick for Dorrance Armstrong in the first half continues to flash. Micah still was causing problems. It wasn't your typical Micah Parsons.
Just throwing people around.
Yeah. Just creating havoc for other guys to come in and get sacks. I thought Osa flashed a little bit. Like Sam Williams got close a few times. I know everyone's probably thinking about that penalty, but he got close a few times. Like, dude, the defensive line continues to be just incredible.
Hey, on the final defensive stats, all right, New York Giants. Their defense, sacks, 0. Quarterback hits, 2. Cowboys, sacks, 5. Quarterback hits, 12. Dorrance Armstrong had 2 quarterback hits. Micah Parsons had 2. DeMarcus Lawrence had 3. Donovan Wilson had the 1. Who else? And then Dante Fowler. Oh, wait. 2-1. Oh, Quentin Bohanna had 1. Sorry. Anthony Barr.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about last week, John, is just the depth of this defense is like pretty amazing across the board. By position, it's not just one position that's deep. It's across the board. Everybody's making plays.
And I mean, you can argue about the quality of whatever teams you're playing, but if you watch all of these games through the first 3 weeks, there's just so much parity in the NFL right now. And for you to go 3 consecutive games where you only allow 1 touchdown per game, I don't care how bad your offense is, you're going to win a decent amount of games if your defense can continue to do this. So that's an incredible run that they're on right now. So obviously, if they keep that going, they should be in pretty good shape for the rest of the year. Obviously, they got to stay healthy, though. You know, there are moments in this game tonight where, you know, Trayvon Diggs is on the sideline and you're like, ooh, is that an ankle? Is that a knee? What is that? I think he was just cramping. And then there was he obviously went back in the game. And then that DeMarcus Lawrence point, he gets 3 sacks early on. And then all of a sudden he's on the sideline and I seen him, they're untaping his left foot. And I'm thinking, is he out for the game? He doesn't have his helmet with him. Next thing you know, I saw him like high-fiving some of his teammates. And I'm thinking, oh, maybe he's saying that he's out. Then I can't even find him on the sideline. He goes to the locker room. And so then I'm really thinking he's done for the game. You're not getting any announcement from the team on what's going on. And all of a sudden, here he comes running back out, gets his helmet, and he's back out there at the end of the game. So I feel like they dodged a couple of bullets there, because if you were to lose it to DeMarcus Lawrence or Trayvon Diggs, obviously either of those is huge.
Yeah, I think Stevie just popped into the comments as we could have easily beaten the crap out of him. And I was like, it actually really... that's the thing, is like the fact that this was a close game or a 7-point game is kind of a little shocking. They had so many opportunities to really extend the lead. We talked about the CeeDee Lamb drop a little bit, but he redeemed himself there. The Trayvon Diggs interception that just went through his hands and a missed opportunity kind of redeems himself at the end, though, with the game clincher, even though it was kind of thrown right in his lap. Still a good athletic play to go ahead and show his hands and ball skills to make that catch. Like, that's important.
How close do you think Diggs was to having more than one interception? From like, we're in the kind of the corner where I'm at right now is actually one of the Cowboys coaching booths. I don't know if it was offense or defense, but this is just the spot I went to because I could close a door. So I'm right on the 50 right now looking ahead, but where we're at in the press box, we're off to the side. And I felt like he could have had at least one more interception, but I don't know, like on the TV copy, did it look like he could have had maybe 2 or 3? Because I know he got close.
There were 3 that jumped out and 1 was in the first half. The other one, the obvious one though, is it's 6-3. This is on the same drive where they had a 3rd and 14 and Jordan Lewis got called for legal contact.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So Giants in their own territory on 3rd and 14, you feel like it's the Giants, you had them stopped. And then, the interception goes right through his hands. You know, I think about what was so frustrating to me. I mean, the CeeDee Lamb thing does continue to jump out. I don't want to get into penalties. Honestly, you got a few calls your way and a few calls against you. That's kind of every week is pretty balanced. I don't want to go down that road today. I thought it was pretty balanced overall. The one thing that I kept saying, though, the thing about the Giants is they're not good. We know that. But there is one guy who can keep make it one big play that could kind of change things. And absolutely, we've seen Saquon Barkley have how many big plays, and he did it. And I was like, man, that's the reason you can't play with our food.
Right.
And keep it that one score game. And he got that. I was like, oh, no. But the Cowboys to come back on that next drive and do what they did, that says a lot about the entire thing. I think it says a lot about how they're coached and, like, you know, comfort and things like that, to not be overwhelmed by that situation and throw your hands up and freak out. Cooper Rush says a lot about him and how calm he is. Like, that drive was spectacular, because I don't know, there's some years past where you'd go, man, that's where it would all kind of snowball right there, and then the game's over.
It's funny, because with the Saquon Barkley thing, and I know he's been hurt, so he's got a ways to go to get to the level I'm about to mention. So I'm not making this apples to apples comparison, but, you know, watching the Lions for as long as I have, sometimes when I see Saquon Barkley, it reminds me a little bit of Barry Sanders, a little bit of Calvin Johnson, where you're just like, man, you hope that, I know Cowboys fans don't want to hear this, but you hope that they can put some talent around him so that he can meet his potential. Because there's a ton of teams in this league that if he was on, like, can you just imagine if Saquon Barkley, if you flip-flop Saquon Barkley with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, just what he would be doing in that Chiefs offense with Patrick Mahomes and that. So he's obviously got to stay healthy, but when he is, you're right. He's the one guy that you're out here, if you're the Cowboys, that you're so concerned with, because yeah, he had the one touchdown, but I felt like if you keep giving him the ball, he could add 2-3 plays like that.
And, you know, the thing when that happens, though, the Cowboys come back with 9 plays, 75 yards. Noah Brown, 5 catches again tonight. We've talked a lot about his connection with Cooper Rush. So,
and they're not easy catches, you know?
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm wondering. Like, he's not going to be your separator, right? Where you're just going to have clean throws and things like that. But when Gallup comes back and you have to run consistently 3 wide receivers out there, Noah Brown's got to be the third guy. It's good to see Jalen Tolbert get out there. He had the one catch. There was the deep ball where I thought, I'm going off the TV copy, dude, and they didn't spend a lot of time on the TV copy of
it. Hit him in both slow-mo hands.
I thought he turned into a goldfish. Yeah. He turned into dinosaur arms. Goldfish. You know? Which, you know. That's a ball that's got to be caught, but I often see this with receivers when they break into the league. They have those instances where you go, okay, that was a learning thing right there, and he'll make the next catch, right? And it's frustrating because we've all been a little frustrated with Jalen Tolbert, but maybe it's just like small school guy, give him a little time, continue to develop, because his skill set is definitely what they want with CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup. Noah Brown's probably not the skill set they want to pair with CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup, but that might be your best option right now, because I'll be damned, he's throwing the ball, he's probably going to come down with it.
Well, not only that, look at the way the Giants were defending him. There was 2 blatant hold calls that weren't called against one side, on both on him. The second one is probably the most fired up and angered I've ever seen Kellen Moore going after the refs, because when you see, especially when you see the replay and you see there's actually 2 guys that bracket him that both hold him, and then nothing's even called. The fact that nobody would have seen that, and I'm not really big on the whole let's blame refs for this and that, but there were those 2 calls stand out to me a lot, where when you see the replay of them, you're like, I don't understand how that wasn't called. It seems pretty obvious. And then the other one was obviously in the end zone earlier in the game. But obviously, if he's receiving that type of attention from another team, he's on everyone's radar. And oh, hey, maybe he doesn't have the same impact with a bunch of other quarterbacks, but there's clearly some type of rapport that's been built between him and Cooper Rush. Cooper trusts him. Noah knows, you know, kind of Cooper's tendencies on his throws and where the ball is going to kind of be. And they just seem to be on the same page. So if CD can put the drops to the side and he plays like he did in the second half, and you get Gallup back healthy and your top 3 receivers are Lamb, Gallup, and Noah Brown, that's not bad.
I think like 9 out of 10 times the calls like even out, like that first pass. Like the Sterling Shepard offensive pass interference,
right,
was clearly just a guy running through traffic. Like that was a bad call. I was like, okay, they even out. So when Kellen gets mad on third and one, here is my thought there. And tell me if you agree. Against the Giants, who have done pretty much nothing outside of one big Saquon Barkley play, on third and one there, I'm not throwing the ball.
Right.
No matter what. And the aggressive play against 25 other teams in the league, I'm probably throwing the ball if I want to there. Or I have, like, I'm running the ball there, and I get that the guy would have been open, it would have been a score. But against the Giants right there, just plunge ahead, get the first down, keep the clock moving. And if you don't get it, you kick the field goal and go up 10. They're not going to score 10 more points on your defense. That's where I was. But so I thought Kellen was like mad because of the penalty, but also like, dude, it's risky calling a pass play on third and one there.
It is. It is. But I don't know. I feel like the way he's called these last two games, that there have been some things that I wouldn't have necessarily think he would have done with a guy that was only making his second and then now third career starts. But you can tell that there's been spots where he wanted to be aggressive. And it was interesting how, when the Giants did take the lead, how aggressive the passing game became on the very next series. It was almost like, we have this if we absolutely need to use this, but I also don't want to see Cooper Rush have a big turnover that changes this game completely. So let's just do what we have to do, take care of the ball. We have an outstanding defense. Let's not give them a short field. And I really do feel like with Cooper Rush, that's the, you know, the number one priority. Don't turn the ball over. But then once you go down by seven, then it's like, okay, well, we got to turn it on a little bit. We're going to have to open this up, or we can't just keep running the ball, or we're going to be punting it back to them. And this thing could get out of hand. And it was impressive how they answered. That was the biggest drive that they've had this season for sure.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
When it got down to it, you held the Giants to, let's see, four plays and then a punt. That's the first drive of the fourth quarter. You come back and score 11 plays, 89 yards, and that's the CeeDee Lamb drive, the fourth and four catch. In a tie game right there with about 6 minutes left, I think there are some coaches, even though Maher had already missed from 59, I think there are some coaches in the league who go, I'm going to kick a field goal there. From 58, 59 yards, well, it would have been 60 yards, really, with 6 minutes left, but to take the lead. And for him to go for it on fourth and four with the backup quarterback, and CeeDee Lamb makes that tough catch and barely gets the first down, one of those things where you're praised if you make it, and maybe you get grilled for it if you don't. I mean, I guess you could have – the other option is to punt there, but – I don't know if you're punting from the 42, like you're the Giants 42. Well, with 6 minutes left, that's a type of decision where if you don't get it, you're giving them the ball with 5 minutes left at the 50-yard line. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's where that game could have swung. So that catch, that fourth and four catch might be the play of the game, to be honest. I mean, that might be it.
When you see Zeke gets 15 carries, Tony Pollard gets 13, Pollard goes over 100, Zeke sets 73, Zeke averaging 5 yards a carry, Pollard averaging 8.1.
Yeah.
Is that the split you'd want to see? I think that closer to 50-50 is probably the way to go. And for several reasons, you know, I guess it matters from team to team. But if you could get that split around 50-50, I think that'd be pretty good for individual games in the long haul of the season to try and keep one, Zeke healthy, and then two, keep Tony Pollard so involved in the offense that you really do have a legit, because as much as we've talked about them having a legit 1-2 punch at running back, I always felt like it was Zeke's show and that Tony would be kind of filling in where he needed to. I feel now this season closer to where it's more of a split between the two of them.
The drive, so when it was 2013 and you got the ball back, the Cowboys kicked that field goal to make it 23-13. That was a Zeke drive.
Right.
The Giants come back, kick a field goal, make it 23-16. But 2 minute drill, then it was Tony Pollard. So I like, were they alternating drives? I guess I didn't notice that. If they were they almost alternating drives and then kind of subbing in a little bit? Because I think the scuttlebutt would be like, oh, Tony Pollard turned into your closer tonight. I think it was just more like his turn. I don't think
that's what I think it is too. Credit to Zeke. Yeah, the 27-yard run up the Cowboys sideline there, that looked like vintage Zeke, where he was physical, got into some space, was making plays there. So when you're talking about when they answered, so when New York made it 13-6, when the Cowboys answered, it was pretty much all Zeke on there in terms of touches.
Mm-hmm.
Zeke was the only one that touched the ball there. And then you mentioned when they took the lead. Is that the one that you were saying?
Yes.
That you think it was all Tony?
No, that was when it was 23-16. So, yeah, the Giants had just kicked the field goal.
Yeah, it was all Tony.
Yeah.
I was like 2 minutes left.
And then the next drive was all Zeke. So maybe you're right.
Yeah.
But, you know, they also let...
The next drive was Pollard. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're every other series...
But I'm going to tell you this right now. That has to do with the team they're playing. Even though that's how it went this week, that doesn't mean it's going to be like that next week. And if it happens again next week, it doesn't mean like it's going to be like that the week after that. But it could. If they find a rhythm and they think it works because it's keeping the other one fresh, then it makes sense. But obviously, both of them have to stay healthy to do that.
So where are we at with Dak now? Dak's obviously the stitch is out.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry, real quick. I just got to complain about something.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand why that's such a big deal. Like, I don't know. Have you guys ever had to get stitches?
No.
When I was like real young, I don't really remember it.
So I have a chin that's like easy to break open. So there's been a couple times where playing basketball, it's split open, you know, falling on the ground, diving for a ball, things like that. And then, playing football, it's split up. So my chin is split open 3 different times.
Wow.
And on the third time, I just took the stitches out myself. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, I don't understand why everyone, the key with the Zach thing or the Dak thing is the getting the swelling down. And when he was in the locker room last week, the swelling was down. Getting the stitches out is not that, it's not like, okay, now you can throw a tight spiral. You know, it's another step in the process, but getting the stitches removed isn't some like, oh, now the stitches are out. Oh, he can play next Sunday. It doesn't mean anything. He still has to grip a football and be able to throw it like he was before, you know, he obviously fractured the thumb. So everything seems to be on track. I know it was interesting after the game. I should have mentioned this first. What a great reporter I am. He did talk a little bit after the game, but he did not want to talk about himself. And I watched multiple waves of people come over and try and, I know you're talking about Cooper, how are you doing right now? And he would repeatedly say, I'm not talking about me. I'm just going to talk about the team or whatever. So he didn't provide an update, but everything appears to be on the right track. You know, we see him out here warming up before the game. I saw him at practice last week out on the field. He's not throwing passes yet, but he doesn't appear to be where he doesn't appear to be that far off, but now it has to get to that level where he has to throw. And so next week still seems a little bit premature.
Yeah. Don't mess with that, dude. Don't mess with that. It's Washington, and man, it's not an easy win, but what Washington team looks very beatable. Carson Wentz looks like a guy who is, to quote Sam Darnold, seeing ghosts. I mean, he is.
And even if you lose the game, you're 2-2, you buy Dak another full week, and then he comes back and you feel a lot better that, you know, he's closer to completely healthy, because I find it hard to believe that he's going to be completely healthy before 4 to 6 weeks, because that's when a bone is going to completely heal. So even if you run him out there the following week, you're still kind of in that time frame. So I don't know. I would let Cooper go one more game.
What if, so week five's at the Rams. I think I might, walk with me here. So you beat.
Let's go. I'm ready to walk.
So you beat the Commanders. Let's say you beat the Commanders. You're 3-1.
Right.
The Eagles are week six. And Mike McCarthy, I know, said this before. He's a believer in division games. It's almost like winning two games, right?
Right. So like, absolutely.
Maybe it's like, okay, let's make sure Dak's really ready. Let's let him sit week five. If Cooper Rush is 3-0, it's going to be really hard for me to just run Dak out there against Aaron Donald and the Rams.
Yeah.
I might just be like, hey, let's just wait. And I'll see how he practices and all that. I get the nuances of all that stuff. But I am not going down the quarterback controversy pipeline.
No. I know what you're saying.
But maybe let Cooper Rush lose a game first.
Yeah, no. I don't think that's going to happen. I think if Dak is gripping the ball to where he feels comfortable – and it's not going to be just him feeling comfortable. Obviously, the coaching staff is going to have to see him make all the throws that he's going to need to make in an NFL game. If he's doing that and he's ready to go, he's getting back in as the starter. Even though, obviously, Cooper would have the hot hand, he would be coming off of three consecutive wins. I think Dak gets back in the lineup. The issue, if I'm going to walk with you on that, you're going to have to walk with me on this one. The issue is when you run into 3-and-out, well, now with another 3-and-out.
Yeah.
Oh, offense is sputtering. Then you're going to hear, that's when people are going to be like, maybe they should put Rush in right now, you know? So I that stuff could happen for sure, but I don't think the Cowboys look at it from that perspective. They look at it as when Dak is healthy and he feels healthy and he's showing us that he's healthy, he's back in there as the starter.
There could be a line of thought that says, I'll wait till week six against the Lions, right? The Lions and the Bears. I'm sorry, week seven. And it's
that Eagles one's going to be
the Bears.
The Eagles one's going to be tough for one, him and then them, because let's be honest, they look like a real problem.
They do.
And you want to talk about that being like two wins or whatever. That's the game that you want them back for.
I will say this. They do look like a problem, and it is an impressive win over the Vikings, who messed around with the Lions, who messed around with the Eagles. And your other win is against a Commanders team that, frankly, quit yesterday. I mean, that was a team that gave up.
And let's be honest, early in the season, we've seen this Cowboys team get off to some hot starts. And then you have what I will call a Denver game, where someone does something, slows things down, maybe keeps Hurts in the pocket, puts a little bit of pressure on him, making him where he can't get out of the pocket, and he has to win with, I don't know, 35, 40 throws. Yeah. It doesn't look quite as smooth. Oh, wow, what happens next week? Now that team's adopting that, you know, whatever that plan was. And hey, I'm not saying he's not having success, but maybe it doesn't look as much as it did these first 3 weeks. So, yeah, that's always possible that happens. But from what I've seen through the first 3 weeks, I'm not on the Jason Garrett side. I don't know if you saw, I tweeted that quote that he said on NBC that he thinks they're the best team in football. I don't think that's the case. I think Buffalo would still be the one for me. But I understand they lost and Philly's rolling. I get it. But I would stop a little short of that. But they look like they certainly, if Jalen Hurts can keep playing like this, they look like a legitimate problem.
Yeah, watching like the Packers and Bucks, we probably take them fairly seriously, the NFC. And there's tons of injuries with the Bucks. And the Packers kind of have a Cowboy situation at wide receiver where they're just kind of getting through it. But you sit there and go, man, they're not as far off as you think, but you immediately go, well, I guess the Eagles are kind of up there with the Packers and the Rams, of course. I don't want to leave them out. And the Saints are what we thought they would be, I think, at this point. I think the Saints might be a little bit better. The Cardinals have got off to kind of a weird start. I mean, it's super early, and I understand all that, but I just, you're there. Like, it's hard to argue. Maybe it's not hard to argue. Maybe it's still too early to see. It's like easy. Like, you play a bad team, like the Giants, and you kind of struggle with your backup quarterback. You play a great team with your starting quarterback and the Bucs, and you lose to them the way you lost to them in week one, whatever. But it is hard to argue that the Cowboys aren't a top seven team in the NFC. And that's where you get kind of frustrated, like, man, there's some things you could do to maybe climb those rankings a little bit.
Right. Now, so where I stand on that is I think the Cowboys will be just fine if their injury bug was Dak and Tyron Smith. You know, obviously Chargers are going through it right now. The Bills missing a lot on defense this week. If they can avoid a rash of injuries and can keep this crew together, yeah, I think the Cowboys would be in great shape. The longer this offensive line plays together, the better that group is going to be. They'll be fine there. The receiving corps, same thing. If you tell me Michael Gallup can get out there and stay healthy, CD stays healthy, Noah Brown stays healthy, Zeke and Tony Pollard. I mean, but it's the NFL. It's hard to ask for all that to happen. But if that does happen, oh, this Cowboys team will be fine. Absolutely. Because this defense is absolutely legit. The only thing it's missing right now is it's not taking the ball away like it was last year. Yeah. We knew it wasn't going to repeat with, 34 takeaways. But I still think at the end of the year, they're going to be amongst the league leaders in takeaways. And I think through three games, they only have two right now. They're due to have one of those games where they have two, three takeaways and things go really well from on that side. When that happens, you get some short fields, whether it's Cooper, whether it's Dak as quarterback, that'll be huge for the offense. But no, the Cowboys are fine on paper as long as they stay healthy. They got to avoid, and like, again, you're watching this game now, you see Lawrence go down, you see Diggs go down. Yeah. They can't afford to lose any of those guys. Micah, you can't afford to lose any of those guys for an extended period of time. So they, if the Tyron thing is kind of their big loss, and then obviously the Dak setback, and they can avoid any other ones, then I think they'll be fine.
1 a.m. where you are, John. Let's get your parting shots, and then we will reconvene a little later in the week and get ready for the Commanders.
Parting shots is, I mean, 2-1, I think that's where we all would have had them when the schedule first came out. You know, I felt like they'd split those first two games. I felt like they beat the Giants and Washington. So I think they're about where they should be. I obviously didn't anticipate Dak fracturing his thumb. Yeah. I obviously didn't expect that Cooper Rush was going to be the starter for multiple games during that stretch and play as well as he has, being 3-0 now as an NFL starter. But my biggest two takeaways from this game were, one, it was really good for the defense to see DeMarcus Lawrence have the game that he did, because they're not going to be able to win with just Micah being the guy up. You know, I've listened to some of the Manning cast today with Jimmy Johnson talking about how you just have to double this guy. And that's what teams are going to continue to do. And when they do that, that's when Lawrence is going to have to make teams pay. And so that was obviously a good sign there. And then the other thing was just CeeDee Lamb being able to overcome those drops, because he obviously knows. He was talking about after the game, it's obvious he's the number one wide receiver. And however anybody wants to put that, that's more pressure on you. And so the way he's playing in that first half of the game, you're thinking, and this number one wide receiver thing is certainly weighing on him. For him to overcome it, with particularly on that series, the four catches, 48 yards, the touchdown, that was so big for his confidence. I mean, that could take him to another level, to where he should be, you know, where he should be talent wise. So those two performances really stood out to me. And yeah, I think that if you're a Cowboys fan, you gotta be pretty pleased with where they are right now. I know the Giants aren't a great team, but hey, you won on the road. Take it, keep going, division win. That's about all I got.
I can't get over the fact that 2 weeks ago, there was reason to speculate that this whole thing might be over. And here we are now going 2-1, and buckle up, hold on to your butts. It's going to be a fun ride. So, John?
That's the NFL, though, man. Yeah, I'm telling right. you. It's such a great league of parity. These first 3 weeks have been outstanding in terms of the drama. So, yeah, you expect it to eventually lose some interest, and it just, where it's going right now, it's just, I don't know, it's in a good spot. It's very entertaining.
The butt punt, I mean, all of it, it's all so good. It's all so good.
You got guys running around the back of the end zone.
Amazing.
Safeties, Orlovsky style. I mean, yeah, wild.
Got to give a shout out to Turpin.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, I don't think, after seeing that Chargers preseason game, I don't think it's going to be a surprise to anybody in the next, I don't know, few games if he takes one to the house. He certainly has that ability. He's it's interesting that no other team was interested in him.
It's just that's the part that stands
out to me.
You punt enough to him, he gets enough opportunities, right. He's going to have big plays. It's just...
Absolutely.
And it finally happened.
Yeah. No, I just can't believe another team wasn't interested in him. Not one other team. You know, from the, I'm talking USFL, why he was playing to after he was USFL MVP, there was nobody else interested in him. I feel like any team would have a role for him somewhere.
Yeah.
But, it's probably because he's so small, honestly. He's so tiny.
For sure.
It's like me playing out there, literally. Yeah. Pink Garrison out there. Joe that's probably why. It's just concern. It's like, could he really... I don't play in this league. And
help you on offense. Yeah. Where's he? Right. Where's he going to help you on offense? You know,
Jerry's
he's going to be a guy in your rest. Yeah.
Tom, right, come on. Well, come on here.
Was he?
Yeah. Did he just, walked behind you? Yeah.
Sometimes he is up in this area, but I don't think he would still be. This is too late after the game.
I'm saying right now. Like,
he literally just walked. He just walked behind you.
I think he's in there right now.
No, somebody just left.
I'm telling you.
Somebody walked in the door. It was Jerry.
Yeah, no. There are other people that are up here. Yeah.
Oh, we're going to have to replay that on the video. I think that was Jerry. Jerry just
walked. All right. I got to go just in case.
Yeah, dude, you need to go.
All right, man.
All
I'll
the way
out
about them Cowboys, or are you 5 feet away from Jerry at all times? Kent, big win, 2-1. Thank you, John, out there in New York. We will be back a little bit later this week as we get you ready for a nooner on Sunday against the Washington Commanders as the Cowboys try to improve to 3-1. Keep following everything on The Athletic. And once again, following Father John Machado, who will keep pumping out that content all week long. For our producer, Kent Garrison, for Father John Machado, I'm KT. This has been a victory episode of About Them Cowboys.
I got to see those lips.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.